Mike Anderson from Albuquerque, New Mexico, and you're listening to the Pro Hockey News Podcast.
Welcome in to another edition of the Pro Hockey News Podcast, brought to you by our friends at MyCustomSportsChair.com. Check them out, visit them, design your own sports chair with the logo of your choice, including, I bet you can get some PWHL colors on there now with them.
Ooh, yeah.
Breaking the ice on their league. MyCustomSportsChair.com, proud friends of our lovely podcast here on Pro Hockey News. Happy New Year, gentlemen. It's 2024 and the gang's all here.
We survived.
We did.
We're all here. I mean, that's amazing within itself for the first
time. Right.
That's true.
Taking a full shift.
We're going to be back.
Lot going on. The PWHL broke the ice there. So they're a thing now. Officially, we've got the World Junior Championships going on. We're recording this on Thursday, literally during the Finland-USA game. So winner plays Sweden. Canada, nothing to talk about there. Winter Classic happened. NHL All-Star news coming up as well. And then, you know, it's trade deadline heating up. We got goalie talk and things like that going on. So let's start with the Winter Classic, guys. First shutout ever in Winter Classic history. It only took us 15 years.
I guess it doesn't surprise me all that much just because, I mean, there's so much of the game that I thought was fairly unwatchable, in part because the ice is bad. Bounces get weird. And it sort of falls apart at a certain point. And so the fact that it took this long for, you know, Decord being the goalie that got behind every bad bounce and just, you know, managed to pull it through was, it's sort of surprising to me that it was him, but it's not a surprise that it took this long to get a shutout.
I'm surprised it took 15 years. It's hockey. Yeah. Like somebody clamps down and does it. It's just amazing. It took 15 years, Richard. That's what shocked me,
especially when you think about like some of the great goalies who have played in the Winter Classic: Tuukka Rask, Corey Crawford, you know, just to name a couple of them. You would think at least one of them would have had a decent shot at a shutout before now.
Yeah, and especially with like terrible ice conditions and all that, where it's hard to generate offense. You figure like we'd have a 1-0 plotter at some point, but we never have. Even the snowy Pittsburgh Buffalo game was a handful of goals. But we got a shutout. Another first.
Another first. I don't know. Another I liked first. The game. I liked it. I thought it was good. I mean, and maybe it was something about the two, you know, division rivals, two newest teams in the league, generating this electricity. I thought it was a fun game.
The anthem helped.
Yes. Yeah.
It was good.
Kid played a banger of an anthem.
Yeah. The intermission stuff was good. It was one of the better ones for not having a nostalgic or a backdrop of historic proportions there. I thought everything was really well done about it.
Yeah.
I thought the game was the worst part of it.
Oh, absolutely.
It was. I did not in the onset, and I did not seeing it like the Seattle jerseys. Vegas to me won the jersey war. Goalie pads, helmet, jersey, everything. Vegas, hands down, I think, had the better set.
Well, I definitely think that they won the goalie setup. But I don't know. I liked Seattle's setup. I like their jersey pant combo. I don't know.
I liked Decord's pads. I thought his goalie setup was good. I was sort of always okay, like so-so on the setup anyway for both teams, but.
Vegas has looked better than it did on screen, like looked better in person than it did on screen, if you will.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I think part of that is because the you're so much farther away in this game because of the camera positions.
Yep.
That it's a little harder for it to stand out. I did like the raised logo on the helmet.
Yes.
I really enjoyed that. I thought that was, I mean, again, nothing that you're going to see from that far away, but the pictures of it were very cool. It's just, look, I mean, it's the pomp. I think we've talked about this before with the Winter Classics and Stadium Series games. The pomp and circumstance is cool. The setting is sometimes cool, but it's not a great watch hockey wise.
No. But give them credit. They pulled it off. I thought it was well done. We do not have an announcement for 2025 yet. But here's my question for you guys. Will Chicago host it? or where do you think they're sending him? Because Connor Bedard will be playing in the 2025 Winter Classic. That's my prediction.
I think,
can convince me otherwise.
I think he's going to, they're going to be sent somewhere. I just don't know where that's going to be.
Is it going to be Detroit?
I don't think so. They've been talking about Detroit and Columbus. They've been, apparently the NHL was scouting out Ohio Stadium. And that, what they were saying, that might have to be in February for a stadium series game because of the lack of insulation on pipes in the stadium. And they may not be able to do it in the dead of winter. And this way, if you do it, you can get like a Michigan Ohio State game or a Michigan State Ohio State. You could do something with Big Ten hockey down there at the same time. And make like a real
a weekend out of it. Yeah.
Like a whole weekend out of it.
Yeah. I remember they did that with the outdoor game here in Colorado. Yep. With the Detroit, Colorado, they did DU and CC.
Yep.
I was thinking Columbus cause there's been a lot of rumors about that, but in theory they could do Michigan, Ohio State the weekend after, you know, because I think it's going to be a Tuesday next year.
Mm-hmm.
And then that very next weekend you can start, you know, college hockey starts up again this weekend. So it's not like you couldn't it teamed up together and coming out of semester break, you've got Ohio State, Michigan weekend series. That's, I could see that. Yeah. I don't know.
I mean, that would be a phenomenal venue. It is it's at an incredible stadium. They'd get a massive crowd for it. I think whether you did Chicago, whether you did Columbus, Detroit, you did Columbus, Chicago, I think either way, it's going to be a banger of a game.
The only way I see Chicago, Detroit happening in Detroit. Well, I think it would be in Detroit since
it would be in Detroit this time. Yes.
But the only reason I think that would happen, Patrick Kane would have to re-sign before they want to make the announcement because then it Kane, DeBrinket, Bedard. I mean, that is your TV. I mean, if Kane would say, if they know for a fact Kane's going to be in Detroit next year, I would put Chicago at Detroit because it's a TV show, hands down, as what the NHL is going to do.
I feel like you schedule it now, whether or not Kane is back or not next season. Because, I mean, what other storylines do you have with Chicago and Columbus?
You don't need storylines if you're throwing Bedard out there.
But you have rivalry between Chicago and Detroit. You don't really have rivalry between Chicago and Columbus.
Which is why you do it on New Year's Day, because nobody gives a crap about going to Columbus on a Wednesday night for two terrible teams. Seriously, I mean, it's the classic hasn't become a full rival type thing. It's the novelty act. It's the TV ratings.
No, but I feel like you get better TV ratings if you put on the rivalry. Like if you put on two garbage teams, as you're mentioning here, I mean, if you're not already going to watch, like if you're not invested in those two teams, you're not going to care. If you're the casual hockey viewer who wants to maybe watch hockey before you start watching some college football, if you see a game on like, Detroit and Chicago, you'd be like, sure, I'll watch.
Lonnie, I think Bedard's that much of a pull right now already that.
Yeah, I think so too.
You don't need another storyline, do you?
I think whether Kane's there or not, you could do.
Well, of course you can. I just think if he was signed there next year, it's an easy decision.
Oh, it's a guarantee.
Super easy decision.
No, I agree. The it's interesting. You could do it at Comerica Park. Comerica Park has actually hosted outdoor hockey before, because when the Red Wings and Maple Leafs played at Michigan Stadium, a rink was also built.
Yep.
And they did sort of Hockey Town hockey festival. They played the alumni game at Comerica Park, and the 2013 Great Lakes Invitational Hockey Tournament was also played there. So they've got the experience of hosting down there before. So they know how to build a rink there and have the setup, and it would work. Visually it works really well, just because there's a lot of cool architecture and building around Comerica Park that makes for good sight lines.
Yep. There you go. Yeah.
So you could, you absolutely could do Chicago, Detroit. You don't need, Chicago, Detroit is the draw.
Yeah.
Bedard helps, but
yeah. Yep. So yeah, I forgot they played the Great Lakes at Comerica Park back in 13.
Yep.
So, okay. So that's it for the Winter Classic. I mean, that's, it was nondescript game, everything. You know what? I will say the pregame outfit's pretty good. Tossing the fish during the starting lineups was a neat Seattle touch. I mean, it was kind of everything you expected to that. And we did get confirmation that the Isaiah Thomas celebrity sighting was the Seattle version, not the Detroit Pistons version.
Okay.
Good to know. And Isaiah Thomas was quoted how he was super excited. He's a big hockey fan. Apparently he was so excited to talk to Wayne Gretzky. You know, question is, did Wayne Gretzky expect that Isaiah Thomas when he heard he was meeting Isaiah Thomas? Do you think Wayne Gretzky knew there was a second Isaiah Thomas in existence?
Maybe.
Yeah, probably.
I would like to think a producer warned him, hopefully.
Well, I mean, before that, though, do you think Wayne Gretzky knew of the existence of a second Isaiah Thomas? I'm going to go no.
Maybe. I'll say yes. Why not?
I'll give him the benefit of the doubt, like maybe 60% chance. Above average.
By the way, like Gretzky's everywhere. This guy's like having a rebirth of fame. Like this whole TNT thing, he's showing up to NHL games. He was there for the, when Bedard did the Michigan, like the dude's everywhere all of a sudden.
I know he's enjoying the TV, the media lifestyle.
And it's a side of him we haven't seen.
No.
And I love it. Love it for the sport.
No, never saw that. Never saw him doing that when he was playing. That's for sure.
No. Yeah. So good to see that. Staying with the NHL. I don't know if you guys remember. You probably don't because you tend to remember, not always remember things that I say. There was a firing with the Oilers, a couple months ago now. Everybody was saying, oh, it's panic time, all that. And I said, let's just wait and see. Told you guys, wait and see on the Oilers. They're back in the playoff hunt, folks. They've played some really good hockey since that change.
They have been.
And McJesus is doing things. Oh boy, is he doing things.
The craziest thing to me in this resurgence is the stats around, McDavid's, games played and points total. And the fact that, I know Gretzky, different era, different styles, everything. Gretzky got to 900 points in like 350 games.
Yeah.
It's taken McDavid like 601 or two now. That's insane.
It is.
That's just.
Goalies know how to like go down to the ice now in this era.
That's right.
Yeah. It helps.
They know they can take away part of the net.
Yeah, but they are 1 point out of a playoff spot with a game in hand on a team ahead of them. They have three games in hand and 4 points to go to catch Nashville. 7 out of 10, 6 in a row. They good again. This coaching change. I mean this is Craig Berube 19 style stuff we're seeing.
Yeah,
and they found what's working, what's gelling with the team, and I mean that's. That's what they needed. I never thought it was a huge personnel change that they needed to make, but obviously it was some leadership issues that they were having in the locker room.
Lonnie, is this more, because I still think Jay Woodcroft's a pretty good coach. Is this more just needed message delivered differently, or is Woodcroft just not a great NHL coach in your mind?
It might be the latter. It might be what his style didn't mesh with the room that he had. Could be as much of it as anything. You know, I think you can't really put it all on the schedule, but their schedule in the stretch certainly does help, but picked up 5 in a row on the road. Especially when back-to-back wins at the Devils, at the Rangers, in their New York swing, and then taking care of some Pacific opponents on the road. That's a heck of a stretch that they've been on. I think Woodcroft maybe can coach, but also it's hard to it's just sort of hard to know because you have a veteran laden team like this with that kind of skill. I think you maybe need to tweak your coaching style to fit it a little better.
Richard, it probably helps that in the last 19 games, McDavid's had a point, at least a point in 18 of them.
Yes, getting him involved has definitely been the catalyst of, I mean, you have arguably the two greatest players in hockey, two of top five greatest players in hockey right now on that roster, playing on the same line. If you're not generating offense with those two, the rest of the team's going to struggle. You just need to find ways to open them up and allow them to, you know, produce.
Man, you really like Zach Hyman. Huh. Two best players, two, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
That's who you were talking about as the other best player, right?
Exactly. Oh, okay. Exactly. Yeah. this Leon Draisaitl guy, he's just kind of a flash in the pan. Whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. He just takes goals away from McDavid. That's all he does.
Right. Just cleans up rebounds, maybe tips him in. Yeah, whatever.
Yeah. I mean, come on.
But we joke, but like they're getting production from. They're just getting, it's not just getting McDavid and Draisaitl in love because they're always going to find theirs. It's Hyman is their leading goal scorer right now.
Yeah, that's, I mean, they're getting like tongue in cheek. Like
I know, but goal. Like you, Evan Bouchard is a point a game guy on your blue line right now. So is Nugent Hopkins, Vander Kane, 14 and 10, and like is only a minus six. So like he's not detracting from what you're doing. Like the whole, everybody is chipping in and playing a part. And that's, you know, that if you're going to dig out from some, you know, the start that they had, that's going to be the way to do it. And it's not just getting your two best players involved. It's everybody else getting involved too.
They're doing this with Connor McDavid fourth on their team in goals and has yet to score a game winning goal this season.
That to me is crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you've got 5 point a game guys on this team right now.
It's insane. I mean, it's what we expected out of this team.
Yes. I'm not sure I would have expected a point. I'm not sure I would have said like Hyman, Nugent, Hopkins, and Bouchard would have been. Like, obviously, McDavid and Draisaitl, sure. But like, you're getting, it's the lift you're getting up and down the lineup right now. And that's the difference.
Mm-hmm. But the way they rotate lines and the way that Hyman and Nugent Hopkins often play with a McDavid or a Draisaitl, especially on a power play, the points per game for those guys isn't a shot. I mean, they are, it's a production of what's around them type thing. I'm not saying that like that taking anything away from them, but Hyman and Nugent Hopkins are a point to game folks on this team. They wouldn't be on numerous other teams. They are benefiting from the McDavid Draisaitl because, you know, you have to sag at some point. You don't want the pass to go across the Draisaitl, you know,
right.
It's you don't want the pass to go, you know, to the bumper for McDavid when he's playing that role. You know, it's so you're going to have openings and they're taking advantage of it. But it is not surprising me in the least bit that they have a resurgence. I know it's surprising a lot of people. To me, I was never done on them. I always thought they would climb back into this. There's too much talent there to not climb back into it.
No, for sure. Yeah, I mean the power play is clicking at sixth in the league right now. 25%.
Yeah.
Still giving up too many goals, but that's, you know, at least they're figuring out a way to score them, which is, you know, a pretty significant increase from where they were at.
Well, and that's the rub is, you know, Skinner's back. He's winning games, but he's given up 2-3 goals. He did have the shutout at San Jose, because who doesn't have a shutout for San Jose? But, you know, he's given up 2-3 goals consistently a game. So the question turns is, are they in on Jake Allen, John Gibson, Kako Kakinen? I mean, those are probably your three biggest goalies that are going to be on the move, in my opinion, come trade deadline. Edmonton, I mean, there's a lot of teams that need goalies, but Edmonton, like, I mean, that is the missing piece for a team that has zero cap space and would love to take on a goalie. You know, the problem is Stuart Skinner has 2 years after this left, so he's not movable for a lot of teams.
That's, oh boy.
Yeah.
It's always goaltending with them, isn't it?
Always.
Always.
Always has been.
This is the conversation we've always had with them, is they've got all of the pieces, but what are you doing in goal?
I mean, since they got rid of Grant Fuhr, goaltending has always been the question in Edmonton.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, John Gibson has a modified no trade clause, but I think you accept a trade to...
Oh, yeah, you do.
You think you accept a trade to go for a chance to go in a cup. Right, but he's got 6.4 for the next three seasons after this one.
Well, and that's right. And Jake Allen is not an expert. You have a lot of guys that it's not easy to get them.
No, it's going to require...
Jake Allen is 385 the year. I mean, the thing is, you have to find somebody that wants Skinner as a reclamation project, as part of the trade, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And if you're Montreal or you're Anaheim, do you take a risk? Because you're getting money off of it. I just don't know. I mean, they probably, yeah, I don't know. I don't know what they do with it.
I mean, to get Gibson, it's not just a goalie swap. There's going to be picks. There's got to be other contracts involved. There's no other way to make the money work.
Yeah.
And we also have the albatross of Jack Campbell, who's sitting down at Bakersfield.
Yep.
For them with dead money. So, I mean, they definitely need a goalie. The question is, can they get rid of enough salary, and will somebody take one of their goalies to get them the goalie?
And are you getting rid of enough? It's not just getting rid of salary. It's how much do you have to detract from your team?
Yep.
In order to, you can get the goalie, but if you're giving up if you're giving up a middle six forward, if you're giving up bottom four defenseman, that's going to hurt you demonstrably in the playoffs. I'm not sure that trade-off works.
Richard, I would argue that Edmonton's in a unique position because of their roster construction and the talent they have, that them giving up a number one draft pick for somebody to take one of those goalies may not be the worst thing in the world for them to lose a top pick.
No, and they are pretty heavily stacked with first and second round picks for the next few drafts. They have pretty much all of them.
Yep.
I think Edmonton can get away with, giving away one of those picks, because the rest of their roster, besides that goaltending issue, is really well set, like you had mentioned. And your question before is, as opposed to whether Edmonton, whether they can whether they can trade Skinner, or whether they have the pieces to do that. I think the easiest part is for a team to be able to take on Skinner. I think that's what a team is going to want, rather than what Edmonton is going to have to do to clear up space to bring on another goaltender.
Also, I think you can't keep both.
No, you can't.
Not in their cap situation. You can't afford to keep both. You've got to move. Skinner has to go to bring somebody else in. I think Gibson is obviously probably the most talented name out there.
Mm-hmm.
Who's to say what else might be out there if you're willing to take a budget move, maybe a more budgetary friendly move on a goalie that's still an upgrade from where you're at with Skinner.
And Anaheim can afford to keep some salary with them for the next couple of years.
But are they?
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be a number one plus Skinner plus salary retention plus maybe even something else. I just somewhere a third team taking on something just to make the money work. I don't know how it's going to require some creativity, though, if they're going to make a move for a goalie.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Anaheim's got six picks in the first three rounds coming up in 24, so they've got flexibility. A lot of thoughts there, so we'll see. But when stars are on teams and their teams are better, it's better for the league. So I'm glad to see Edmonton creeping up, and hopefully this will continue for them. Tonight, NHL All-Stars get 32. The way they're doing it this year with the draft. They're announcing 32 tonight on Thursday night. One for each team. And then the fans are voting on the final 12. That's how the NHL is doing it.
Okay.
Like, because we have to represent a team tonight, we're just going to give you that. And then we'll let the fans decide on the rest. Like, it seems backwards. Baseball always finds a way to fill every team by letting the fans start the voting.
Right. I kind of feel left out in the dark as a fan. Like, okay, you already have the players who are in. Well, what if I wanted to vote for one of them, but now I got to go rethink somebody else.
Well, you got a week to vote for the next eight players and four goalies.
Yeah.
Which if they're saying that four goalies to go, that means we're getting out of the 32, we're getting four goalies tonight.
Yep.
Since we're putting two goalies on each team. So,
right.
Doesn't it seem Lonnie backwards? I mean,
it's so backwards. Nitpicky,
it's the All-Star game, but it's backwards, right?
First of all, who cares? It's the All-Star game. Second of all, it's totally backwards. But I mean, I guess it, you know, look, it lets you pick arguably the best player on each team, right?
Sure.
Because, you know, this, we don't have a John Scott situation. But like, yeah, McDavid's going to get picked, but so you're going to force Dreisaitl and Hyman or Hyman or somebody, like, you're going, they're going to be one of those other ones.
Yes. Yes. Or Nugent Hopkins, or like, they've got, right, like you said, five, like, guys, so that are, five, right, guys that are appointing a game. Like,
right, like you could pick any of those guys off Edmonton and, you know, be totally comfortable in the vote. But like, who decides which of those five get on the ballot?
Yeah.
Yep. Do those five start drawing from each other and somebody totally undeserving slips through? Like, it's silly. This is just, but also at the same time, who actually cares?
Well, I agree. Well, it's like, so you look at Boston. Are they going goalie there?
Right. And which one?
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm pretty sure Winnipeg's getting a goalie out of the four.
Yes.
Probably.
You know, that's almost a, you know, maybe you assume it's Ovechkin. If not, it's Lindgren. That's the only other guy having a year for Washington at this point.
It's Ovechkin.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting. I'm interested to see how they do it. There's a few teams that we know exactly who it's going to be. And, you know, I mean, like Vancouver, it's got to be Quinn Hughes.
Mm-hmm.
Even though Demko's having a good year, you're still going to go Hughes. I'm pretty sure we know who's going from Chicago.
No.
Don't they only have the one skater anyway?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, Colorado, we know. Tampa, we know.
Wait, do we know? Whoa. Who's going from Colorado?
Yeah. Or is it Makar?
Or is it Kale? Is the second leading defenseman in points?
You're not giving away the guy that's been leading the league in points most of the year. What is he, second now? McKinnon's the name. Come on.
Look, I don't, I'm not saying I disagree. I'm saying I don't think it's as foregone a conclusion.
Okay. Yeah. That one can go 50-50.
Okay,
but I mean, one doesn't get in; the other one's going to get voted in.
You would, right, think, I mean, well, but at some point, you would think so.
But who knows?
Yeah, I mean, once again, if you're not playing divisions, you're not playing conferences, you're doing this draft thing, just stop with every team's required to have one. Just stop.
I mean, you got to think like Ovechkin is calling the league, saying, "Please, please don't pick me."
Yeah.
Please, exactly. Don't pick me. Please forget to put me on the ballot. Don't make me opt out.
Yeah. Yeah. So we'll see that. That's what we got. So, I mean, there'll be some close calls and, you know, they may need to trim things up afterwards with guys opting out or opting in. Manscaped can trim you up. Manscaped.com/PHN to get your discount. Manscaped, best way to keep everything how you want it in the scaping of the man area. PWHL had the transition from men's hockey to women's hockey.
Wow.
Don't know how I did that. But
I don't either.
I'm not sure you should do that again, but okay.
PWHL started. This was a rush job. It was a full rush job. They got it out 6 months basically to get a league off the ground. Some things are still missing, like team names and jerseys. We'll get into, but I watched some of it on the YouTube where they're broadcasting it. Some good hockey. It's more physical than traditional women's hockey with some out of body checking, which we'll talk about some of the rule changes there. You know, good on them. Attendance records being set. Ottawa, the atmosphere in Ottawa seemed to be absolutely phenomenal. Good start for PWHL. They got it going. They got it going.
I really enjoyed watching, especially the Boston Minnesota game. That was the one I tuned into. Didn't think Minnesota was gonna just, you know, kind of run over Boston, but man, that was some just great shots. Minnesota's got some snipers.
A lot of the experts are saying Minnesota's the class of the league. A lot of things you're reading, it's Minnesota and then the other teams.
Yeah. I mean, it showed against Boston. That was phenomenal gameplay. I wish they had a nickname I could have them go by, but Minnesota played great.
Yeah. Yeah. A couple of the rule changes that we talk about. We'll take them one by one. First of all, I think we can all agree the 3-2-1-0 standings. Like, yes, NHL, just do this.
Bravo.
This is such a no-brainer. The whole argument of it'll create too much separations and teams will be up by Christmas. Well, no, because teams can make up that much by having the extra, the 3 points available. Like, is this like the easiest rule change the NHL should make?
Of course. I mean, Adam, you and I have been saying that for how many years?
20?
predating this podcast, we've been saying that this is a rule change they need to adopt. You've got to make the win mean more.
Yep. Yeah.
Winning and you're going to create way more interesting end of game situations if the bonus point is there for winning the game.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I think it should come with these GMs. I think the most interesting one that they have adopted, if you score a shorthanded goal, your penalty is over. That is considered a kill if you score while shorthanded.
I like that. I don't know if the NHL needs to change to something, but I find it intriguing, giving some reward to the team on the penalty kill to go out and score. Like, push your luck. Push your players down ice. You know, a little risk reward. I like it.
I mean, I think it's how teams attack is going to be very situational, which is fine. Like, I think that's the case even in 5-on-5, right? The time you choose to, you know, when you choose to try things on the ice is, you know, you're not going to push your luck. You're not going to put yourself in a bad situation. But if there's an opportunity, you're absolutely going to take it.
Yeah. You like it, Lonnie? Yes, no.
I do like it. I think it's certainly a different approach, which, you know, I don't hate. I like seeing a league try different things that sort of upend the structure of the game a little bit. Because I think that the NHL, this is not meant to be a shot at the NHL, but I think the NHL being, you know, they're the NHL. So, right, they're the focal point of hockey for most people. They get very staid in the way of doing things. It's always worked, so we're just going to keep doing it. Like the, you know, points per, you know, not doing a 3-2-1-0, for example, is, I think sort of upending that and possibly being a proving ground for the way things could work in the NHL or at other levels of hockey going forward, I think is really interesting.
Yeah.
I like that. And I like that they're willing to be the test ground for it.
Yeah. Yeah. I like if you score a goal, it's killing a penalty. I would like to see them add the all you can score power play complimentary to that as well.
That would be fun.
So they went a different route. They went a different route. And one of the another no trapezoid goalies can play it wherever on their side of the red line.
Yeah,
I want the trapezoid. I'm over the trapezoid in the NHL.
Me too.
Yeah. I want puck handling by goalies.
Yeah.
Especially goalies, by taking out
goalies are people too, damn it.
Well, but especially like taking out the red line, it like they talk about it like slowing the game down, but no, but like by taking out the red line, you allow a guy, both Boston goalies, for God's sakes, the way they handle the puck. Outlet pass is not like all of a sudden somebody flies the zone.
Yeah.
And you've got a two liner from goalie to opposite blue line. Bring it back.
Yeah. I'd love to see that.
Yeah. And then the really interesting one with women's hockey, because there's never been checking allowed, is body checking now is allowed when there's a clear intention of playing the puck or attempting to gain possession. So if somebody's standing stationary against the boards, you can't plow into them. You still have to go around them to get the puck. But basically, like in open ice and a race for the puck, you can use your body to create a stronger position, which is unique in women's hockey. And these games were more physical than we have seen.
Oh, yes, they were.
In the international games.
Yes,
because of this modification, this modified body checking allowance. I love it.
Yeah. It's fantastic.
I mean, hockey is a physical sport. Let the players get physical.
In a lot of the quotes on the women, you know, Nurse has been out about this, especially in Knight. And it's what's interesting is they agreed to this rule and they like it because it still doesn't bring the hits from behind that you see in the NHL and the suspendable stuff and all that, because it's more in theory of an open ice race for puck type thing or physicality in a board battle. You know, it's taking away the dirty hits, but allowing some physicality that hasn't been allowed before in the women's game. And I think like good on them for being progressive with the women's game, recognizing where it's gotten to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the skill that they have on the ice.
And right. It's the skill and athleticism that they bring is so different than it's just the evolution of the game has changed so much from where I think a lot of us started watching the women's game, you know, at the international level, especially back in the, you know, really the 98, I think, Nagano Olympics. Mm-hmm. The great players that, no question about it, legends of the game in the US and Canada, but the overall skill level is night and day.
Yeah.
And that just happens as more girls start playing the game. The skill level picks up, they start playing the game longer, and this is where it's come to now, where you have, you know, Kendall Coyne Schofield competing in the fastest skater competition at NHL All-Star Weekend.
Yeah.
And acquitting herself incredibly well. Like, hockey is hockey. And so, yeah, you know, if they're not putting themselves in dangerous positions, they're not, I think there is still a different level of respect for opponents in the women's game than the men's game in a lot of ways. And so I think you're going to see it played cleaner, A, because they're used to it, but B, because I think that's, if you're in situations where you're just going for the puck and it's less open ice shenanigans, I think it'll be fine.
I give it 2 years, assuming this league stabilizes, grows, maintains interest. I give it 2 years before that statement that you just said about the friendly or all that stops, because right now a lot of it is friendly. I mean, US Canada is nasty when they play each other, but they still do this rivalry series. They're around each other a lot. It's still friendly because I think they understand the greater good of the game and marketing and all that. If this starts to pick up and becomes the WNBA, not everybody's friends in the WNBA. It used to be Hunky and Dory in college women's basketball, and the stars were stars, and everybody was in it for the promotion, and Pat and Gino and all that. WNBA is not like that anymore. There's no different game. We saw it last year in the college final.
Yeah.
You know, Caitlin Clark wasn't everybody's best friend.
Nope.
You know, it's so I think that it's going to be less friendly as time goes on.
Oh yeah.
And that's fine. And that's good. And I think that's good for the growth and the trajectory of the league overall, is the fact that they're not going to be friendly all the time. That's good. Ultimately.
No. Yeah. And so, I, I applaud the league for at least having the foresight to put the definition into place. Like it has to be, you know, playing for the puck or putting yourself in a better position to get the puck. So, you know, I like them being able to see ahead and be like, well, this could be misconstrued further on down the road. Let's define it now.
By the way, the early jersey winner, that New York Toronto game looked beautiful. Watched a video bit, saw some still pictures where, you know, all the teams lined up at center ice before all their games for the all-girl games. Just the New York Toronto jerseys, the New York Whites and the Toronto Blues, love them. Love them. I don't like Boston. I don't know why we're going Celtics with them. And then Montreal's off white. It's a bad off white. It's not cream enough, but it's not off white enough. It's like, looks like you sweat through a white jersey white. So I love two. I don't like two, and I'm indifferent so far on the others.
That's fair for a team that really only, or for a league that really only has colors as opposed to like actual identities for the teams.
It's my biggest frustration. I know they only had 6 months and copyrights and all that, but to not have team names, it's a miss. It's a miss.
It is.
It's a miss, but at least they're playing. They got it off. I mean, like I said, it's not easy to get a league off the ground in 6 months.
No,
it really
product. Isn't. The product on the ice is great though.
It is. It was high level. And this is women's hockey needs to be watched. It is not what people think it is. If you haven't watched it, you're missing out. It is really, really good hockey. Really good hockey.
Yeah.
No, fun to watch. If you want some fun stuff, go to foco.com. They've got a lot of stuff on there. They're known for their bobbleheads. Check them out from our link on the prohockeynews.com website. Foco, good friends here of the PHN podcast. Final topic today before we get to whatever's on our brain after the picks. World Juniors going on. Literally going on as we speak. US Finland, or the winner of that game, is going to play Sweden, who beat Czechia. Guys, here's who I feel the most terrible for. Whoever is on Team Canada next year in Ottawa. The pressure on the 2025 Canadian junior team is going to be stupid high.
Yeah.
Poor 18-year-old kids are going to be...
Listen, you know, they're just kids and they gave up Christmas for this. Be nice. Sorry. The Twitter discourse around Canada is insane. These people are unhinged.
Yes. And it goes back to home soil next year. Mm-hmm. Like, if they don't win a medal next year, I honestly feel bad for everybody on Team Canada before, during, and after. It's not going to be fair to those kids.
No.
After this year. No. Losing in the quarterfinal, which is like just... And let's be honest, Canada's not as strong, especially goaltending's been a problem for the Canadian hockey organizations, but they haven't been as great. And other teams are getting better. Like, just flat out the world is catching up to Canada.
It's not... I know this is going to be sacrilege for our friends north of the border. It is not their... you know, divine right to win this thing every year.
Not anymore.
Or to medal every year. Not anymore. Look, you know, Canada's leading scorer in the tournament was, you know, the guy who you expected, Macklin Celebrini, probably the number one overall pick coming up in the draft next year. He had, you know, 4 goals, 4 assists, but you got to go down to, Brandon Jaeger had 2 goals, 3 assists for 5 points. He was their next leading scorer. And if you look at the scoring chart on the IIHF website, which I don't know why you would, because their website is terrible. like there's a whole lot of other countries' flags on there. And it's, you know, Slovakia, Sweden, USA. USA is offensively absolutely loaded. This year.
The Latvia game helps.
Yeah.
The Latvia game, yes. Latvia helps, you know, putting a 10 spot up against put up a 10 against somebody in the last group game. But, like, yes, that helps. But this team this USA team is incredibly talented. And it does help that one of their lines is, you know, the BC line. It's three guys that are teammates at BC who play together at the US development team, who are now part of the World Juniors team, and they've stayed together as a line. They're incredible this year at BC, and it's carrying over to this tournament. It's, you know, this is the US team is really, really good. And yeah, if they make the final, there's what, a few minutes left in that one, in this one,
2-2 with four left right now is what we're looking at.
2-2, four left, US on the power play. Whether it's US Sweden or Finland Sweden is going to be a terrific final. And, you know, Canada not advancing is, I mean, I would say hardly the end of the world. It's not a deserved, it's a deserved early exit.
And I meant the Slovakia. They beat up on Slovakia more than they beat up on Latvia. I forgot that they put the 10 spot.
Right, 17 goals between.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and then they throw another. What, they have 11 versus the Swiss? So
yeah, they've done well.
Yeah, yeah. So they've definitely rolled in the early portions, but yeah, I mean it's really, I mean, you get what you want out of it. Sweden, the host country, in the final. I mean, you can't draw that up any better.
No.
That's exactly what you want. So
right. I mean, in Finland, Sweden played a classic, you know, group game on New Year's Eve. It was a phenomenal game. So it's like whoever's coming out of the, like, whichever of these last three teams wins the tournament is going to be, it will be well deserved.
Yep. And we are now officially, at the time of recording, 3:13 away from U.S. victory. Power play goal, U.S.
Ooh, USA.
Down to nothing after USA. One. And they have dominated.
Cutter Gauthier.
Yep.
Stands to have the winner.
Yeah. Another two power play goals, top shelf for their first goal and their third goal were top shelf power play goals that are just picking a corner. Like, oof, God, these kids are good.
Yeah.
By the way, living here in St. Louis, I'll tell you, the Jimmy Snuggerud talk after this tournament, people are ready for Snuggy to get to the blue note.
leave the he's at the U, I think, right?
I believe so. Yeah. He's having a coming out party. He's having a coming out party. It's, yeah, you mentioned it. I think the most fun about a lot of this is the U.S. players have been drafted. A lot of them, they're doing their college years right now while still playing, you know, in the juniors. And it's kind of like a cycle. Like, they're doing a good job of cycling names, and people are becoming, to the above average hockey fan, names are becoming more familiar because of some of that, you know, especially in certain parts of the country.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think that's, you know, it helped, you know, like Michigan State's resurgence in college hockey has helped because you've got Michigan State's goalie, Trey Augustine, is the starting netminder for USA. Isaac Howard, who's had a great tournament, Tampa Bay draft pick, transferred to Michigan State. Like, there, you know, there's international players, group of kids at the U.S. development team that are signed with MSU for next year. So I think it starts building on itself, and college is becoming a much more viable path ever than it ever has been. I've always been a longtime college hockey watcher. It has got that, just the level of skill at more programs has just gone up and up over the years. And it's not just Minnesota and Michigan that are, you know, and the Wisconsins who haven't, you know, who are hoarding all the talent, and it's not, you know, it's hardly a foregone conclusion that it's those going to be those teams anymore.
U.S. now is going to penalty kill with 2.5 to go. Okay. Well, you mentioned that too with college hockey. Michigan State and Maine are back this year, which,
oh yeah,
it helps. I mean, Maine, the Black Bears in the 90s were a thing. They had some dudes that came from that program. Michigan State had some dudes that came from that program. Arizona State ranked in the top 15.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I mean, like, that's great to see.
Paul Kariya won the Hobie Baker he was the first freshman to win Hobie.
Mm-hmm. What year was that?
In 1993, possibly the dumbest set of stats you're ever going to hear as a freshman. 25 goals, 75 assists in 39 games. They went 42-1-2, winning the NCAA and Hockey East titles. Jim Montgomery was one of his line mates. Now, you know, obviously the Bruins coach. They were a thing. They were a real They were an absolute wagon in the 90s. It is so good for hockey, not just the East Coast, but you know, college hockey in general, to have a viable, legitimate main program. And yes, having Arizona ranked and like, you know, get them into the NCAA tournament. Like, this is good for the growth of hockey. If college hockey in non-traditional hockey market starts to take off.
Agreed. It's fun. Yeah. It's good to see. It's good to see some of the names that, you know, back 20 years ago, back getting good again. So yeah, it's fun. It's definitely fun. Richard.
Yes.
It is that time.
Time for the PHN picks of the week. I got us some fresh games to pick this week. Quick recap from last time we met. Adam and I, not a great week, but both going 2-3. We're still tied on the season at 16-14. Lonnie's got a little catching up to do. He is at 6-9 on the season. Adam, I'll have to post some pictures of this. Adam is showing off his very own PHN Picks trophy, which was sent to him by Dr. Lou Lafredo. Adam, we're having the winner name the trophy. Do you have a name?
I just got it yesterday. So no, I don't.
You've had 24 hours to think of a name.
I didn't have enough time with the brain trust that I plan on bringing in. It's going to be a deep meeting with some trusted advisors. Okay. I hope tonight to have that with a very select group of people.
Okay. Well, let's save it for the next time we meet on the first line. We'll announce the name of the trophy and how I will be receiving it at the end of the season. All right. Five games this week. And
you had a big slate to pick from.
Honestly, looking at the NHL slate this week, I picked four. And then the PWHL, we got a good one. I decided to throw in there for Saturday as well. So starting with game number one in the NHL, we have Calgary at Philadelphia. Adam, who you got?
You had to start with me, huh?
Yeah.
You know, nothing gets more exciting on a Saturday night than when the great rivalry of Calgary and Philly come together.
No. NHL Network.
Saturday at 1 o'clock in the afternoon.
Eastern oh, good golly.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it's the first game on the slate.
Yeah, it's too early. I mean, that's like a noon. That's like an 11 o'clock kickoff for Calgary. I mean, forget it. They can't. West going east, early game. Nope. That's a thing in hockey, right?
Right, yeah, sure. We'll go with that. Who you got?
Philly.
All right, Lonnie?
Philly.
I'm going to go Calgary. I don't know why. I honestly don't know why, but I'll do that. All right, game number two, hopefully a much better game. Florida at Colorado. Lonnie, who you got?
Oh, I mean, it should be a better game. God, I mean, God help us if it's not. Florida's playing really well right now.
They are.
Especially on the road. They're having a good road run.
They are. Colorado 16-4 at home, though.
There is that, too.
I'm going to go with Colorado.
All right. Adam?
Going to go with Colorado because Florida is in Vegas on Thursday night.
Oh, a little Vegas.
Vegas hangover may have. I don't know what their travel situation is with an off day on Friday, but I'm going to go with the home team in this one.
Yeah, I'm going to go Colorado as well. They've been playing really well all season at home. Got to take the home team. All right. Game number three, Vancouver at New Jersey. Adam, who you got?
You know, I wanted to ride New Jersey so much this season. But how can you not look past what Vancouver's doing?
Oh, yeah.
I keep waiting for the other shoe to fall off, and it's not yet. So I'll take them.
Okay. Lonnie?
Oh, the Hughes reunion, East Coast edition.
Right.
Jersey at home is slightly tragic. I'm going to go with Vancouver.
I'm going to go New Jersey. I'm not ready to abandon them yet, and I'm not going to discount anything that Vancouver has done, but You're due for a one-off.
I don't think it's an abandonment if you were to pick against him. I just don't love how Jersey's playing right now, and Vancouver is just on a heater.
Oh, they are. But every hot team is about to drop one. I think Vancouver drops one. All right. Game number four, Nashville at Dallas. This one I think is going to be just a sneaky good game. Lonnie, who you got?
Dallas. Don't feel great about it, but I think just enough there right now. Both teams playing very well.
Okay. Adam?
Dallas, because they just seem to score a lot of goals at home.
Yeah.
Like a lot of goals at home.
They do.
Very many of them.
Very many of them. Yes. Nothing about Nashville, and they're in a much better position than I give them credit for. Nothing about Nashville has given me anything to be hopeful for. Dallas has shown some bright spots this season. I'm going to go Dallas as well. Game number five in the PWHL, we have Montreal at Minnesota. Adam?
Not going against the juggernaut. Give me the Minnesotans.
The Minnesotans. Lonnie, you going to go against the local team?
Are you kidding me? Of course I'm not going against the local team.
All right. I'll take Minnesota as well.
You got to get to one of those games this year, Lonnie.
I know. I'm going to.
You do.
I can't this weekend, but I will get to one soon, though. It will be – I'm looking forward to it.
All right. And we have a late entry from our host, Adam Minnick. USA versus Sweden.
3-2 victory, down 2-0 after the first period, two power play goals, 3-2 win for the U.S. versus the host country. There's only one negative about the U.S. winning this game, Lonnie.
What's that?
We don't get the greatest jersey matchup in international play. Sweden. Finland. I mean, is it any better than those two on the ice together?
It gets pretty good.
It's so good.
And it doesn't matter which jersey each of them wear when they play each other. They're all four combination that they.
Yep.
That's the only negative. But USA going back to the 60s jerseys. Pretty freaking good.
Pretty sweet. It's good stuff.
Yeah. So U.S. Right. This is going to be a tough game for the U.S. on road ice.
Yeah. Who do you think?
Oh, do I go with heart or do I go with mind?
Go with mind.
Go with my. I think Sweden pulls it off. They've had a few tougher. This is the first test the U.S. has had. They passed it. They came out sluggish. I think the home ice helps.
All right. Lonnie.
Oh, boy. God, this is going to be a great game.
It is.
It's going to be great. U.S. pulls it out.
I hope so. I want to lose this pick.
Yes.
I'm going USA as well. I really just want a really good game here, and I think that's exactly what we're going to get. So there you go. There are PHN picks of the week. If you want to follow us on Twitter, you can find us, or if you want to call it X, whatever it's called these days, you can find us at PHN Podcast. And if you want to submit your picks with us, you can use the hashtag PHN Picks.
There you go. Closing thoughts, executive producer Richard Cote.
You know, our little chat about college hockey got me thinking. I mean, prices have gotten really outrageous for any Avs games this season. And I really want to take my son to a hockey game. And I remember DU's just down the road. And they play some pretty darn good hockey there at DU. And Magnus Arena is just a phenomenal arena to watch hockey. So I'm thinking I'm going to have to, after we're done recording here, look at the schedule and figure out a game that I could take my son to go see his very first, not professional, but darn close professional hockey game.
And you get to go see the Booyam brothers on the blue line.
Yeah.
That's a good one. Lonnie, future Denver Bronco quarterback, Lonnie.
Happy to be back on the pod after having recovered from little time away for some surgery. I'm outraged by the Toronto Sun, and I shouldn't be because it's the paper that has employed Steve Simmons for so long. He tweeted last night, Austin Matthews saves the day in overtime after no-name goalie vexes Maple Leafs. Look, I get that you're Toronto and you think you're holier than thou. But as the Anaheim Ducks pointed out in their reply, his name is Lucas Dostal. He had 55 saves last night against the Maple Leafs, and he was the league's rookie of the month in October. Hardly no name, but if it happens outside of Toronto, I wouldn't expect the Toronto Sun to have any idea of what that is. So, as the Ducks said, be better.
That is I did not know that they responded. That is awesome. They responded to that.
Yes. It's just unnecessary. You're like an actual real media outlet, allegedly. Like, just, you know, just don't say anything at all. How about celebrate Matthews for getting an OT winner?
Right? I do feel bad for Dostal. In two of his last three games, he's made 57 and 43 saves and has lost.
Yeah. Well, you know, it goes back to our previous trade conversation. It's a guy you could build around if you're Anaheim and you trade Gibson.
Yeah. That's I didn't see that. Oh, that's so bad. It is just be better.
Yeah.
That's awful. That's just stupid.
Yes.
I mean, it's not Whitlock awful in the last week, but
no,
it's awful, like, in a different way.
And also, you're not fans. Like, it's one thing if one of us makes a crack about a no-name goalie.
Yeah, you're covering
doing media. A thing, but we're three jackasses. Who cares what we say? But like, for an actual accredited media outlet to do that is just so lowbrow.
Give me a break. I don't know why you'd include Richard in the jackassery part of that. I mean,
I'm full on jackassery. Okay.
You know, you weren't when you started producing this podcast. I feel we.
Oh, I absolutely was. You just didn't. Know
okay,
me.
You just hit it more. Got it
exactly.
At this point, he has such job security as producer. Why hide it?
I don't know. Phillip's up and coming. I don't know how much job security he has.
Learning the ropes. I got to watch my back here.
Yeah. Yep. There you go. My closing thought is I spent a lot of time in a hockey rink. Little one had a tournament, and 8 games in 2 days was much, much hockey. It was a lot. It was fun, but much, much hockey.
Yep.
I need a break, but I don't get one because they're right back at it tomorrow. And then following weekend, we got an out-of-town tournament. So a lot of hockey. Yep. It's fun. It is fun. So thanks for tuning in to the first 2024 edition of the Pro Hockey News Podcast. For Richard Cote, Alani Ghost, this is Adam Minnick. And you've listened to another edition of the PHN Podcast.